20th principle. Efficiency and dispatch require government to operate according to the will of the majority, but constitutional provisions must be made to protect the rights of the minority. One of the most serious mistakes in the structure of the Articles of Confederation was the requirement that no changes could be made without the approval of every one of the states. During the Revolutionary War, several vital changes were suggested, but in each instance, a single state was able to prevent the needed change from being adopted. Basis for the majority rule. Delaying action until it had the unanimous approval of all concerned can be disastrous in a time of an emergency. It even inhibits healthy progress in normal times. Unanimity is the ideal, but majority rule becomes a necessity. The theory of majority rule was explained by John Locke as follows, quote, "When any number of men have consented to make one community or government, they are thereby presently incorporated and make one body politic, wherein the majority have a right to act and conclude or bind the rest. It being one body, it is necessary the body should move that way whither the greater force carries it, which is the consent of the majority, or else it is impossible it should act or continue one body. And thus every man, by consenting with others to make one body politic under one government, puts himself under an obligation to every one of that society to submit to the determination of the majority and to be concluded or bound by it." End of quote. Problem of securing unanimous consent. John Locke then dealt with the problem of having to wait on unanimous decision before any action can be taken. He stated, quote, "For if the consent of the majority shall not in reason be received as the act of the whole, nothing but the consent of every individual can make anything to be the act of the whole, which, considering the infirmities of health and avocations of business, which will necessarily keep many away from the public assembly, and the variety of opinions and contrariety of interests, which unavoidably happen in all collections of men, it is next to impossible ever to be had." End of quote. Majority rule a necessity. It has sometimes been argued that a bare majority of one person scarcely justifies the making of a final decision for the whole body. It has been argued that it would be better to have a substantial majority of perhaps two-thirds or three-fourths. In the Constitution, a provision of this type was incorporated in the text for the purpose of initiating amendments. A two-thirds majority is also required for the purpose of overriding a presidential veto. Nevertheless, this requirement was considered dangerous when applied to the routine business of the Congress. Alexander Hamilton explained it as follows, quote, "To give a minority a negative upon the majority, which is always the case where more than a majority is requisite to a decision, is in its tendency to subject the sense of the greater number to that of the lesser number. The necessity of unanimity in public bodies, or something approaching towards it, has been founded upon a supposition that it would contribute to security, but its real operation is to embarrass the administration, to destroy the energy of the government, and to substitute the pleasure, caprice, or artifices of an insignificant, turbulent, or corrupt junto to the regular deliberations and decisions of a respectable majority. The public business must in some way or other go forward. If a pertinacious minority can control the opinion of a majority, respecting the best mode of conducting it, the majority in order that something may be done must conform to the views of the minority, and thus the sense of the smaller number will overrule that of the greater and give a tone to the national proceedings. Hence, tedious delays, continual negotiation and intrigue, contemptible compromises of the public good. End of quote. Minorities have equal rights. Nevertheless, the American founders had suffered enough from the tyrannical conduct of Parliament to feel highly sensitive to the rights of minorities. Thomas Jefferson referred to this in his first inaugural address on March 4, 1801, when he said, quote, "All, too, will bear in mind this sacred principle, that though the will of the majority is in all cases to prevail, that will to be rightful must be reasonable, that the minority possess their equal rights, which equal laws must protect, and to violate would be oppression." End of quote. We have already treated the problems faced by minorities. It is important for us to remember that every ethnic group in the United States was once a minority. We are literally a nation of minorities. However, it is the newcomers who feel they are not yet first-class citizens. It is the responsibility of the minorities themselves to learn the language, seek needed education, become self-sustaining, and make themselves recognized as a genuine asset to the community. Meanwhile, those who are already well-established can help. The United States has built a reputation of being more generous and helpful to newcomers than any other nation. It is a reputation worth preserving. Once upon a time, we were all minorities.